Life. Table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Territory.
Services.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall. And I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Culture.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Responsibility.
In the border. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sasktel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and today my special guest is Dan Lindsay. Dan's been on the show a number of times, and although he's worked with and for a number of organizations in the past, his focus is always helping the disadvantaged in our community with, I think, a special focus on youth. Today I asked Dan to come on Human Rights Radio and tell us how our homeless people in Regina fared this winter, and what good is trending, as well as any bad trends that are rearing their ugly heads. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be back again. Even though I was here a little earlier.
You were.
Yeah, I crashed Mikayla and Dylan's show. I kept threatening I would do that one day, so it was nice to be able to follow through with that promise.
Yep. Good. It was. Then that was you made their show better, I think.
Oh, that was fun.
For sure. Before we carry on here, though, I just want to touch on CJTR's new Look and Listen lottery. And the highlight this year is that they're not going to New York. They're going to London, England.
That'd be cool.
It is. It is quite cool. See if I can see. I'm trying to adjust my progressive glasses so I can see this. There we go. The grand prize is a trip for two to London, England, with a return airfare for two, 4-star hotel for 7 nights, full day of sightseeing tour of London, including Buckingham Palace, a cruise down the River Thames, and more. London's rock music tour, including Abbey Road, Paul McCartney's office, Pink Floyd studios, and more. Plus, there's more. Two tickets to Michael Jackson's Thriller musical in the West End. And $1,000 to cash to spend any way you want. That's not bad for...
That's really good. Well, it's 20 bucks, isn't it?
20 bucks.
Only 20 bucks a ticket.
20 bucks a ticket. Only 1,200 will be sold. You can get them from me or any other programmer. Or you can just call up the radio station. We can do this on the phone with your credit card. Or you can send us a check. There's a number of different ways that we can do this. Second prize is a $1,000 travel voucher from Carl's and Vaughan Lee Rickert Travel. Third prize, this is a lot of fun too, Regina Folk Festival 2015 experience. Two weekend passes to Regina Folk Festival 2015, plus vendor coupons for the food court and arts market. And as you said just a minute ago, $20 is all that you have to put out. And the draw date is May 7th, of course, this year. So you can get them here. You can call us at 525-7274 during regular office hours, Monday through Friday. Any programmer will have tickets or can get tickets. So there are only 1,200 are going to be sold. And there's a lot of interest.
Yep, that's so, a good trip for $20.
Yep, for sure. So that having been said, and it's a very important fundraiser for CJTR, and it allows us to do the things that we do and also helps us to improve things like equipment upgrades. And you might be interested, Dan, to know that we're going to get a new board, a new control board.
Wow.
This is the original one from when we first started up, and we're going to get a new one.
Nice.
This one is getting a little long in the tooth, and, you know, things happen when things get old.
I'll find it in a new home.
Just kind of like me. Things sort of stop working. Anyway, how did the homeless folks do this winter? I hear that, I was just listening to somebody talk about the weather, and they said that, by and large, we had a warmer winter.
Well, yeah, thank Creator for that. You know, the last three winters been pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. And we did have some really cold temperatures, but we had less snow. Mm-hmm. And it was, it was a much nicer winter this year, so that helped out a whole lot.
Right.
But all in all, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be minus 40, minus 50. As soon as it's minus 5, as soon as it's freezing sure. is freezing.
Yeah,
right. And if you don't have a place to spend the night and you don't have a home to go to, the temperature really doesn't imply much. What it does imply is, how long it will take you to die from exposure, But right. Other than that, homeless mm-hmm. is homeless.
So do you have a sort of a rough count of people that didn't make it this winter?
I don't even want to go there.
Okay.
Last year, towards the end of the year, just, in my work, out on the streets and that, I started counting,
mm-hmm.
Because, people, and not necessarily, died because they're directly homeless,
sure.
but the poverty, living conditions, lifestyle, which relates a lot sure. into the homelessness issue. And I finished the year off at 21. And this year I thought, okay, I'm going to start counting because, anyways, I got into February and I was at over 20 and I had to stop counting or else I was just going to fall apart.
Yeah.
Because, they're doing the homeless partnering strategy. They're doing a pit count in May. And I'm not a big fan of that. They're going to go out one night and count the homeless. Well, what, you're going to just walk around the streets at 3 a.m. and expect to find a homeless person lying in a bus shelter? Yeah, you'll find one or two or where the ATM machines are. Most of them will find shelter of some sort, even if it comes down to breaking into your garage to spend the night. Or there's, abandoned houses, squats, sure. things like that. They do find places to. So you're not going to get a true count on that. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I told them, I said, and you want that empirical data because the government loves empirical data. I said, right. count death certificates. I said, because you don't get any more empirical than a death certificate signed by a doctor and filed with the government. Let the public know how many people are dead this year.
Yeah.
And I think that might wake people up because when you hear there's, we have 1,200 people in shelters or this, that, the other mm-hmm. thing, it's just doesn't really mean anything. But if you say, we got 1,800 people dead, people are going to go, what?
Yeah.
This is worse than some of the countries in the Middle East, the death toll that's happening on our streets, due to related, poverty and homelessness.
Yeah, I recently tweeted or Facebooked or something. We have a government that is happy spending millions of dollars on war while we have citizens.
Billions.
Yeah, well, I was being generous. And meanwhile, we have people sleeping in cardboard boxes.
Yeah. And then one of the things that was funny, because I do the Facebook, eh? And people were passing around these pictures of, oh, you know, how to help solve, you know, homeless people. And they're almost a little bit bigger than coffins, these little boxes. And they had them done up, and they almost look like trains. And it reminded me of, like, when you're a kid at the carnival, and they all hook together, and you do the little train ride. And I said, well, this is great, because we get the ride on lawnmower, and, you know, just drive them down to the graveyard. You know, they're already in the box. And I went, how do, and they're saying, but we could do this for, you know, $60, make one of these little doghouse-type shelters. And I went, you know, I'm so against this, because if it was to take off, then this will be our solution to homelessness.
Yeah.
You get a pre-made, basically, I call it a coffin,
right,
that you can go live into. And if you go over to, like, Singapore and Japan, mm-hmm. they actually have, they're stacked 3-4 high. You know, they're like in, like, garages,
right,
and they're cages. Just like when you go into the Humane Society with a grate, you know, the guy on the third bunk, it's a grate, and you put a little foamy down, and that's where they live. And, you know, they're, you know, basically 8 feet long, 3 feet wide, and it's like, that's just totally unacceptable. You know, we do live in Canada. It's, you know, to say this is going to be a solution to our homelessness, I just, when people say, but, you know, they're kind of nice, and it's a temporary, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. We need housing. We've had a huge amount of fires this year. We just had one last night, too.
Yeah.
You know, in the Angus Street, there's 16 people homeless instantly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Red Cross comes in and Mobile Crisis comes in. And you know what? It kind of falls off the radar for 5 days.
Yeah.
But then we're not footing the hotel bill now. And then they end up down at Carmichael, you know, the housing coordinator looking for housing. Our housing vacancy rate's going up, but our housing problem is getting worse, because the prices are out of unattainable mm-hmm. for anybody on disability or social assistance.
Right.
And we've gone, you know, talked about it before, where, you know, there was, you know, at one time a kind of a prejudice against Native people. And then it became a prejudice against just people on social assistance.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they have, you know, because you don't get cash for a damage deposit, you mm-hmm. get a letter of guarantee.
Right.
Well, that letter of guarantee is only equal to the month's rent, or what you're allotted. So if you're a single person, you get mm-hmm. $459.
Right.
So that letter of guarantee is $459. But the room, mm-hmm. not apartment, the room I'm renting is, or the little bachelor, is $600.
Mm-hmm.
So I can apply for the rental supplement, get that topped up to pay the rent.
Right.
But before I can even do that, and before I can move in, I have to make up the difference on the guarantee in cash, which, you know, from, we'll call it $460 mm-hmm. to $600, that's $140. Well, that's my food money.
Right, right.
So I don't even get to move in to apply for the rental supplement
in a lot
of cases.
To me, this kind of points out a basic flaw, one of the many basic flaws in our system, in that, okay, we're depending on private property owners to provide this, and they have to make a profit. You know, they're business people, so
yeah,
you can't blame them for not wanting to lose money on this.
And they can, because when they have an eviction and things mm-hmm. happen,
sure.
I think the average was, going back a few years now, you basically lose $2,000, because mm-hmm. you probably lose half a month or a month from that money you're not coming
sure.
in, having the place cleaned, any little damages you have to fix
yeah.
up. It averages out that they lose like $2,000 that month.
Yeah,
or that changeover.
Yeah, so to me, that points out, you know, in really large terms, that something different has to be done.
Yeah.
Does, I guess, and that begs the question: do we have a plan? Does the city have a plan?
Well, that article I put in the North Central News, I guess it was about a year ago, is where everyone's got a 10-year plan to end homelessness, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a firm believer in this, is Regina's 10-year plan is to have a 10-year plan after 10 years. You know, the HPS Homeless Partnering Strategy, they just handed out a bunch of money. We didn't have much money this year to hand out. There'll mm-hmm. be more next year, because it was just renewed by the federal government. But basically, I know Carmichael got their housing coordinator
mm-hmm.
is covered again for another year. Thank Creator for that. And they actually have a support person now. So you hear the term housing first. It's mm-hmm. being thrown around a lot.
Right. Yeah.
we're not there.
Not there yet.
We're not even close to mm-hmm. being there, but we're slowly moving in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the other person that's going to be at Carmichael is going to help people maintain that house, help support them, mm-hmm. you know, not just find a place, here's a place, you know, get you furniture, and help that person, you know, coming in off the street, you know, basically, you know, learning how to, you know, live and look after a place, you know, in a good way without getting evicted,
right,
and take care of a lot of those deals. I know Kate's place got funded for a housing coordinator. So what we did, what they did is, well, that's all funding too, but mm-hmm. they also mm-hmm. got a position for a housing coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, and somebody else got one too, I forget. But, you know, when we had these meetings on housing, we don't really need, Carmichael does because they're mm-hmm. SWAT. Social services just sends everybody to Carmichael. You need mm-hmm. housing, go to Carmichael.
Right.
And they're just crazy there, right? And it's insane. And, you know, we do, you know, my job, we do the housing as well. We don't really, it's nice we get some to spread that work out. Oh, yeah, North Central Family.
Mm-hmm.
Services. They got a housing coordinator, which is, and they were talking, saying, well, that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it's not going to help. It will take maybe some of the strain off Carmichael, because basically they were the only ones that were officially acting in that role.
Yep.
But North Central, they're going to be dealing with all those families,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of single moms with kids, so which they are dealing with anyways with their regular staff and neglecting their own programs, probably just like we did at Rainbow, and all the agencies are dealing with this, you know, finding people housing
mm-hmm.
Without having the designated job. So now they're going to have somebody to do that. So that's just going to look after that group of people. Same thing, you know, with Kate's Place, they'll be doing the drug court and whatever they do. And Carmichael, it's the catch basin for the mm-hmm. entire city. And it's just totally insane down there, you know. So our life expectancy on the street for outreach workers is not very good in this city, you know.
Yeah. It's really, when you think about it, it's kind of a strange model, the way we do things, and we're not unusual. The really important work is being done by NGOs.
Yep, yep.
And NGOs have to beg and plead and apply, and they will have they'll have at least one person whose pretty well full-time job is to get grants.
Today, if you want to, it's my opinion again, yeah, you basically have to have that mm-hmm. proposal grant writer working full-time.
Yep.
And some of the stuff where it gets crazy, especially when you get into the government, you know, I want $10,000, you know, to do this. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
it's going to cost me, you know, $19,000 to get somebody to actually do and fill out all the forms and questions
yep.
and do all the stuff that you want us to do. It almost
yep.
becomes, well, you know, and then they say, well, we got this money for you. Well,
mm-hmm.
what you want us to do to get it and access it yep. is just, you know, yeah, you said, well, now we got to create a full-time position just for that.
Sure. And how many of these organizations really, really depend on unpaid volunteers? How many unpaid volunteers are at Carmichael?
Oh, I don't even know the number. It's pretty staggering.
Yeah.
And they also have people come in, the volunteers, you know, working off, you know, parking tickets mm-hmm, and, you know, mm-hmm. fines and stuff, right?
Right.
So you have that group. But then they have a whole core. I've always said Carmichael's got the best volunteers, you know, six years, I've always said that. They just come in, and there's some that come in 5 days a week, and they're there all day, and
mm-hmm.
They just keep plugging and plugging and plugging. And if it wasn't for Carmichael, we'd be in... Because Carmichael is, when people end up getting banned or, you know, from shelters and all mm-hmm. these other places, especially right. in the wintertime,
sure.
you know, when you leave, you have to leave in the morning from the shelter,
yeah.
you know. So where do you go during the day? Well, if you go to the Cornwall Center,
oh,
the security, yeah, you can't go there,
right.
you know. And people, you know, it's like, well, where do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
You know, you see exactly. the sign, you
yeah.
can't, you know. So when you're homeless... The simple thing is just trying to go to relieve yourself can
mm-hmm.
become a two-hour ordeal
yep.
Because nobody wants you, you know. And if
yep.
you do go, we've got security guards and everything else to chase
yep.
you away.
Gas stations don't want you.
Stores, you
Tim
know,
Hortons doesn't
no,
want you.
No, so it's, you know, I'm just really thankful that we have Carmichael, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
We've had to open up their Sundays where, you know, we didn't open up the building, but mm-hmm. we opened up the kitchen. Just
sure.
to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
I was just at the board meeting Wednesday, and I've been doing this 6 years, so I've been watching this, you know. I think when we were 18,000, I don't know. Anyways, this month alone, we're just under 5,000 meals out of the back of Carmichael, out of that kitchen. And we just had the renovation, right. And we've doubled the space of the kitchen, but we're almost doubling what we have to put out there now. And we've had to open Sunday because, you know, everybody works Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
I know that places like Edmonton and Calgary have got, they've got strategies in place, and they're making headway.
Yeah, well, okay, when you look at that, and you look at Edmonton, Calgary, you know, with Alberta. So what they do is they have, and, you know, I may not be exactly right, but we'll call it the trickle-down.
Okay.
But what happens is the federal money, government money coming in,
sure.
And the provincial money,
yep.
And then if they get, you know, companies or corporations,
sure.
It all comes in at the top, and it goes down through a housing first.
Okay, yeah.
So that you got so much money in there that we can actually build a special needs building,
sure.
For people with special needs. We, you know, one of the biggest things that we're faced here in Regina is we've thrown our mentally ill into the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We've closed down the institutions.
Right.
And these are people that really cannot look after themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell everybody, oh, we're going to do community living. It's so much nicer instead of living in some, you know, and of course the institutions here were 100 years old and they look like something out of Frankenstein movie.
Sure.
But there's nice acreages and places mm-hmm. that you could, you know, do this nice, that need 24-hour,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week, somebody to look after them.
Right.
And we say, oh, no, we're going to do community living. There's going to be nice group homes and this sort of thing. So they go into one a community living facility and they get kicked out. And then they end up on the street, and here's a welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call community living.
Yeah.
And then when you're on the streets, and if you're living on the streets with mental health problems or anything else, well, then we get into self-medicating.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to survive, you it's almost like you have to be high.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've ever been out in the cold, you know it gets painful. So can you, and when you're just out, you know, going to your car or walking your dog, live that way.
Mm-hmm.
You need something to kill the pain.
Yeah.
So be it alcohol, lacquer, then whatever, depending on how long you're out there. And then you're, you know, whatever problems we've predisposed problems, they just get worse.
Yeah.
So then we get wrapping them around. So they go in through emergency. They tie up the emergency wards. They come into brief detox. They go into detox.
Sure.
They go into the psych wards.
Sure.
Then they go into prison.
And police get involved, too.
And then we go into prison. So, like, our health care and our correction system is the most expensive. We've known this for 25 years. The most expensive way to deal with a problem. Yet we still
won't.
Through
the courts. Yeah.
It's through the courts, you know, or in through the health care system. And it costs, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I find it difficult to understand why this doesn't seem to be knowledge that people are aware of at the top. Anybody, like a court worker, a judge, a crown attorney, they all know. They see it every day, and they know.
Well, this is, I've come to, you know, you can kind of say what you just said if you're just kind of talking about the subject for the first time, but you know, like I said, 6 years, I live in it every day,
right?
And and I've talked to, you know, cabinet ministers, I've talked to you know people, and everyone is aware. So it's not a matter of not knowing. You know, Joe Q Public might not know, you know, how, you know, the finer points of this and the, you know, the cost to the taxpayers. But the people, you know, pulling the strings, they do know. So it's not a matter of not knowing. It's a matter of conscious decisions.
Do you think it's just a matter of there are just not enough votes that can be got in the next election if you look after this problem? Just to put up crass.
That's really hard to say because I'm just kind of sitting back watching what's happening federally, you know, with, you know, Harper with the Muslim women headgear and you know, these comments that are coming out about, you know, the racism that's, you know, to deflect from the issues, you know, from the economy and things like that. If we can, you know, get votes by, you know, rallying the KKK.
Yeah. Keep a gun by your door. Because
So these are all diversions, right?
Sure.
You know, look, you know, so you don't see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So even with that, that's still all illusion stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, at the end of the day, we're just turning our backs on our fellow brothers and sisters, you know, human beings, you know. We're just becoming so disassociated from being a human being, you know, and we're so caught up in the corporations, like even here, you know, like, you know, all the tax money and tax breaks and everything that we give to corporations to destroy our lakes and rivers, to poison us, to poison our groundwater, to pollute our air, and we're paying for them to do it to us. And then we run out and go, yay, riders on Saturday, right? And there's bread and circus over here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the awareness, and people are shifting. People are waking up to what's important. You know, sure, I make $25 an hour down the mine, but when I die at 45, was it worth it? And when I come home, and even when I come home, I do have that dust on my body, and my babies develop leukemia.
Gee, how come?
Is it really worth $25 an hour at the end of the day, or a new truck? People are starting to ask themselves that, and, you know, in housing and what's going on and the poverty. So you can't just say, oh, it's housing and homelessness. You know, when you say homelessness, there's 400 different factors that go into that, because nobody got up this morning and said, thank you, Creator, I'm going to go out and make myself homeless.
No.
We do. We end up that way. But we weren't born to do that. It's a series of, it's not even a choice. We made wrong choices. We made unhealthy choices. But even still, at the end of the day, it's something, it's a series of things that have happened. And then we all wake up, be it through addictions or whatever, and say, wow, look, I'm 35 or I'm 45 or I'm 50. How did I get here? And you know, and along that way, we need to reach out.
Yeah.
It's about lifting each other up, not about putting each other down. It's not about dividing.
This is Human Rights Radio. I'm Jim Hutchings, and I'm talking with Dan Lindsay. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and play some music that Dan picked, and we'll chat some more about homelessness in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Well, we're the only country that doesn't have a national housing strategy. Go figure. We're Canada.
Yeah.
And we don't have out of all the G20 countries, we don't even have a national housing strategy.
Right.
Or daycare.
We'll be right back.
remember that day you fell out of my window?
I sure do. You came jumping out after me.
Well, you fell on the concrete, nearly broke your ass, and you were bleeding all over the place, and I rushed you out to the hospital. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, there's something I never told you about that night.
What did you tell me?
While you were sitting in the back seat smoking a cigarette you thought was going to be your last, I was falling deep, deep.
Awesome song, eh? Yeah,
for sure. And I'm watching the video here at the same time, playing it on my computer. Awesome video.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, look it up on YouTube. It just makes you want to get up and dance.
Who were we listening to?
That's Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. That's correct, I believe.
Yes,
yeah, it was. Yeah. When I work on the computer, I got TV going on in the background. And anyways, there was some music, and I kind of stopped because I filter all, you know, I do a multitask. And I had to stop and check that out. And I said right away, you know, put everything on hold, got on YouTube and checked it out and went, yeah, it kind of made me, it gave me a bit of homesick. I just, you know, going through, I lost a lot of people this year, eh?
Yeah.
And, you know, questioning, you know, myself and my work, and right. Am I making a difference? And maybe it's time. You know, I've been 6 years here, you know, right. On the streets, and maybe it's time to go back to the ocean and the mountains and take a break. And then I get thinking, another fire, another 16 homeless.
Yeah.
And go, no, you know, my work's not done yet.
Right.
Creator watches over me.
So with our homeless people, and generally, in housing, like, we can back it up a little bit, and there are people that they're working, and they
they
can't afford a decent place to live.
No. And what's happening now is the people, you know, that are on social services or a disability, and they are getting a rental supplement,
right?
And you know, they have their, you know, food money and, you know, their common money. They're now spending their food money and the rental supplement and the rental allotment just to maintain a place.
Right.
So I even have to go, you know, at work I do a lot of, you know, setting up food banks and getting people to go to the food banks and stuff, that I have to make it really clear to people, you know, you got to pay your rent. Because if you don't have an address, you can't get a food bank order.
Right.
And if you don't have an address, you can't get a welfare check.
Right. Yeah.
So and they said, but I got to eat. I spent my money. I can't pay my rent because I had to buy food. And this is where we go back to the NGOs. We get back, you know, All Nations Hope.
Yeah.
They put out soup and bannock, you know, every day except Wednesday. APSS. You know, we do. I work there on Saturdays, and I make a big, you know, bean soup. You know, a big good soup go in, and then, you know, toast and jam and coffee and whatever donations they can get in. IMCF does stuff. Carmichael. So it's like, and then Souls Harbor, they do a dinner, you know, in the evening, right, every night. Right. And it's like, well, you might have to swallow your pride. We can go somewhere else to eat.
Right.
You can get something.
Yeah.
Right, and get the food bank. But if you don't pay your rent, you lose everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hurts so much to tell people that you just got to give it all to the man and, you know, scrounge for food. And that's where we're at now. It wasn't that bad 3 years ago, but that's where it is now. Because sure, they're saying the vacancy rate's higher and things, but the prices are way higher. Mm-hmm. The prices are at sky high.
Yeah.
You know, to rent a room is like $600 a month. You know, in a decent place.
I have noticed, and in apartment buildings around town, there are vacancy signs out.
Sure.
And you didn't a few months ago. You didn't see that.
Yeah. But nobody can afford to rent them.
So
that's the problem.
Hopefully.
So we have working people that are working, that are, you know, we have working people that are living in shelters.
Yeah, yeah. And we have, well, you know, Halliburton laid off quite a number of people, so most of them will head wherever they came from.
Well, you see, this is the thing that happens in the province here, is they don't realize, you know, we had this boom.
Yeah.
And, okay, and I always say, well, who's it booming for? Because it was never booming for my people.
Right.
And it was never booming for the people on the streets and the poor, regardless of our race or religion or color.
Right.
And we didn't save anything. And I've traveled across country a few times when I was working construction, you know, with the union following the booms and the bus.
Exactly.
And... So what happens is you get a whole whack of people that are making $25, $30 an hour as laborers.
Yeah, yeah.
Out on the, you know, a pipeline, or here it's pipelines and oil and industry or mines. And, you know, things are good for a couple of years, and you're buying new cars.
Yeah.
You're buying a house. And then the little bubble bursts.
Yeah.
But you don't have any real skills. You don't have any education.
Mm-hmm.
You really just was a high paid laborer,
right.
And now there's 500 of you applying for that $10, $15 an hour job in the city.
Yeah.
And I can't pay my car payment. I can't pay my mortgage. So this is where we're heading. When, you know, Fort McMurray is, you know, it's classic. Everybody talks, you know, $1,800 to rent a room a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember three times in my life, it was $5,000 just to buy a house, because there was nothing there. It was shut down. It was bankrupt. And then it starts up again, so you get this, you know, the huge ebbs and flows with the economy.
Yep.
And it's the people who suffer. It's not the corporations. They're still making their $1 billion. Look at the price of oil today, and I just paid $1.02 a liter, and it's like bottomed out.
A few days ago, it was under a buck.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, so
how come it went up?
Well, now what they're telling us, they have to make the summertime gas. It's different from the wintertime gas. And so, whatever. It's, you know, it's just, you know, we got to wake up to the corporation. And if you look at housing, most of these places are corporations. Corporations are controlling not only our food and our water and our government, but they're controlling our housing. You know, and you can name a few companies right here in Regina. Everybody knows their names.
Sure.
They own thousands of units. So you screw up in one of those units, there's another 999 you're not getting into.
Right.
So, you know, it's gone all big business, it's gone corporations. And the fact that a corporation is recognized by law and has the same rights as a human being, to me, is an offense against God himself. Like, how can a corporation be considered and be entitled to the same human rights as a living, breathing, dying human being? Got to change. And that's what today is. Today we got the blood moon, third blood moon of the four blood moon triad. We got the equinox. We got the eclipse.
Right.
All happening today. I read somewhere it was 15 million to one. People don't realize this day will never come around for another 1,500 years. A day like today. So for me, it fills me with hope. Even though things, you know, you look, turn on the TV, doesn't look good around the world, but the consciousness is waking. We're looking at one another as human beings slowly. And all these other movements, you know, Idle No More and all these other things, people are waking up to creation and to Creator and our humanity as people, regardless of how we dress or our color or how we pray. Or if we pray, we're all human beings. We all need water to survive. All life needs water. We all need oxygen to breathe. And we all need, you know, love and compassion and feeling of belonging.
You know, I think I'd kind of tend to share your optimism there, Dan. I just, because when I look around, I seem to see more and more people who are making themselves aware of what's going on and asking themselves questions. Like, why is this happening?
That's a big thing. You know? Question everything.
Right.
People are just swallowing up the gobbledygook and heading on down to the bread and circus, but people are slowly becoming unplugged from the matrix or whatever you want to call it. And we're stumbling along. You know, we fall. We fall. We make mistakes. But we get back up and we got to keep going. And the other thing is we always go in, we talk about, you know, we got to detach, we got to detach, we got to detach. And to me, it's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We have to attach.
Yes.
We have to attach. Yeah. We have to attach to one another. Nobody should get left behind. We use that. The politicians use that in education and stuff. No one gets behind. But as an ex-soldier, nobody got left behind. That meant something.
Right.
That was for real. And nobody gets left behind. And that's not by detaching. That's not by cutting the lifeline to that person. It's by reaching out and helping them and dragging them, carrying them if you have to, until they can carry and drag, you know, themselves and then grab another.
Right.
And that's how we have to get out of this. And that comes right down to housing and homelessness. You know, we have to, you know, we do at the end of the day have the power to make our governments do what we want to do. And we've seen that all around the world. And hopefully, you know, we don't have to come to what it's gone to in some other countries. But, you know, we still live in a country where the power of voting does work. And as everybody knows, you know, especially
perfect.
As indigenous people say, well, don't vote because it's not our way.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. Well, you know, at the end of the day, I'd rather pick the devil I know than the one that I don't if it comes down to it. But we know what happened now because everyone didn't vote. Look what we got happening today.
Yeah.
So I guess destruction of Mother Earth.
The message here is we do have an election coming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you want change, then
now's the time. You got to stand up.
Get involved.
Yeah.
Become knowledgeable.
And keep asking the questions.
Yeah, talk to your candidates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because these problems are not going to go away without some serious intervention by senior governments, you know. Really, I mean, when it comes right down to it, Dan, you're just putting out fires.
And when that's all I do.
When you put out one fire, another one comes along.
No, I get two.
Yeah.
my phone's already blinking, so I'm going to be heading out in the truck real soon going to the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's... I want everybody to, you know, that if they're listening, to realize what's happening in this weekend on a celestial level, on a cosmic level, on a spiritual level. Because housing and homelessness is not just a physical thing. You know, yes, you deprive somebody physically of that safety and that security, it starts to affect us mentally. And then when the mentality starts going, then it affects us emotionally. And then that anger and rage and self-destructive behavior comes in. And when you got all three of those going, we're just killing our spirits, killing each other's spirits.
Yeah.
We need to come together and, you know, we all have those four rooms in our house. And anybody, I don't care who it is, who anybody wants to say it is, but unless you're Muhammad, Buddha, or Jesus, you're just a human being. We all tend to live at any one time in one of those rooms. And we have to make sure every day we go and visit those other three rooms to help to try to stay in balance. I have yet to find anybody living in total balance. Closest I came to is I was 20 feet away from the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
But and I think that's about the closest.
Right.
So you know, we just keep trying. And don't turn your back on a fellow man. The most caring, loving, and generous people that I've ever met are on the streets, and we write them off. And this one's got a master's degree. There was that little thing that went around Facebook. It's gone viral around the world of the native guy, street guy, caught up in his addiction. And somebody did. They did a thing where they put out a piano for people to come play.
Right.
And he sat down and blew the world away by playing piano. God don't make junk. We didn't ask to be here. We have people actively working to keep us here, to keep us down, because now it's an industry. There's people paying their mortgages for their cabins and their trips to Cuba. dealing with the problem. As I said, we need a shift in the whole dynamic of thinking. As a board of director of Carmichael, my goal is to shut that building down. People go, oh my God, how can you do? I'm saying, that's my goal. We're not even headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
As an addictions worker and a housing advocate, my goal is to go into the office and get a pink slip and be told my services are no longer needed. I don't know what I'll do. I'll survive.
Yeah.
But I believe that in my heart, and that's how I act. That's how I work. That's what moves me. And we've got to change it. My goal is not to become the executive director. My goal is not to get the next promotion and work myself up the ladder on the backs of people that are dying, literally dying in the streets.
And that's here.
I'm going to make more. It's all over. Yeah. It's all over. But really bad in Regina. But at the same time, we are moving. It's just way too slow for me in directions. Getting to the housing first and all these things. Hopefully in 4 years we might be there. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, my fellow workers, outreach workers, All Nations Hope, you know, Carmichael, myself, my team, you know, we're just out there, you know, just going every day. And every day it gets worse. I don't know. So we just keep doing it. There'll come a day where we're all going to get laid off, I hope. I pray for that day.
Yeah, I can't. I continue to look at this as an issue of people making themselves aware, because
people have to wake up and smell a coffee.
The average person in the street now does not know.
No.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of them.
You look at the relations between Aboriginal people and the settler population.
Yeah.
If when you actually sit down, they go, oh, you get free housing and all this. When you actually sit down and talk to people and they learn about residential school and these things, all of a sudden you got an ally.
Yeah.
They're fighting alongside you. They didn't know these things.
Right.
Because, you know, the government, we try to hide that stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not to be shameful. It's just a matter of the truth to come out. How can we have truth and reconciliation? You cannot have reconciliation if you do not have truth.
Right.
And even today, the federal government is still fighting the Truth and Reconciliation Committee about releasing documents. And you've seen some of the documents about starvation.
Right.
That have come out, and other things, medical experiments. And, you know, and so you can imagine what are those documents that they're trying to keep from the public. And it's not a matter to have a cultural shame. It's just a matter of acknowledging that this happened so it doesn't happen to another group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I talk to people now, young people that's dumbing down. They don't even know about World War II.
Yeah.
They don't even know what happened to the Jewish people. And that was 60 years ago, let alone to what happened to my people 400 years ago, or your people 5,000 years ago. We're all tribal people, even the people of Europe.
Yeah.
They've been conquered and oppressed and conquered again, time and time again. We are all, we say Metoqui-Austin, we're all related. And we throw that word around. We're all related. Not just the people, the four colors, but the animals, the rock people, the plant people. We're all related. We're all interconnected. One of the fundamental differences is that brought about the patriarchal attitude was that Adam and Eve, they lived in the garden, and God kicked them out of the garden. When they took, and then gave man the earth as his domain to rule over the beasts, that's written in the Bible.
Yeah.
Our teachings are that. For our people, we live in the garden now. We're still in the garden. Creator created this earth. It's our garden. We were never kicked out. And we don't rule over the beasts and the animals and the water and the resources. We live together in harmony with them. And we've lost that. But all people, if you go back, yellow, red, black, shared that same philosophy at one time. Some lost that 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 500 years ago. Our chiefs were the poorest people in the village because they gave everything to the people. And that might have even been his teepee. They didn't have homelessness. When we go to our round dances, we go to our sweat lodges, we share the food. We had a, call it a welfare system. We bring our little, you know, feast bucket, you know, kits, and you take that home. Granny's at home, cook them, mush them, and they're going to have some food. You take home and feed them. That's what Carmichael do. We feed the people. If you're drunk, you're high, mm-hmm. black, white, well, there's no judgment. You're hungry. You're a human being. If you don't eat, you'll die. And if you don't get inside out of the minus 40, you'll die. It's very simple. It's very simple. But we want to make things complicated. We got to do studies and reports and get lost. And we got to use acronyms. I purposely at work don't speak acronym. And it really upsets a lot of people. But I purposely will not speak acronym. Because it's a lie and it's an illusion. It's an easy way of saying something that's not easy to say. And the end of the day, you are responsible for the person beside you. We live in this world where even through our programs and things say, no, no, you're only responsible for yourself, your actions, you're only... And that's a lie. It's a misconception. It's a lie. We are responsible for each other. At the end of the day, we're all just walking each other home. We're just here, spirits, on this human journey. And we're all going to go home. And there's lots to divide us and split us up, and conquer, and hate one another. And that's the battle we got to see through. We all screw up. We all make mistakes. But at the end of the day, you can just change, do something in your entire life that changes one person, that might save one person. What a beautiful gift to give to the universe. Because when you look at that, you know, we're just a grain of sand. We're nothing. You and I, as an individual, we are nothing. You're a grain of sand on that beach in California. How many trillions, billions of grains of sands are there? Can't even count. We're nothing. But at the same time, to your mother and father, your family, your lover, your children, you are the universe. We hold both positions of the paradox at the same time and space. And our people, regardless, we need to look after one another.
On that point, Dan, we've run out of time.
And I just want to do a shameless plug. Okay. Next April 4th, we're having a fiddle dance for, you know, spring. So you can get tickets at All Nation Hope. So give them a call, get some tickets, come on out and do some fiddle dancing and celebrate life. New beginnings.
Thanks, Dan. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."